Last time out, we ended by considering how God's paternal love for us brought about our salvation. And we have grappled over the past few weeks with some of the foundations of our faith, so that we might understand the what and the why about why we believe. We've answered questions like, what was actually accomplished through the death of Jesus on the cross? Who was Jesus, and by what authority did he carry these things out? And if you need to recap any of this and you have the internet, then of course you can listen again online. But these type of questions in the Epistle to the Hebrews are set out in the opening chapters are the foundations of the faith, and they will be built on throughout this letter. And if you imagine, as we do look at today's reading, a grand house in which the foundations are laid, that really is what the first two chapters of Hebrews set out to accomplish. Bringing us to today's readings, the foundations have already been laid, and today as we study this letter, we do so upon those foundations, and we begin to see the house take shape in chapter 3. And in so doing, we consider alongside one another two individuals who are considered to be a cornerstone of the house of God by Judaism and Christianity, that is, Moses and Jesus. And this analogy of house building is obviously befitting here because it is the analogy that Paul employs in this part of the letter. So let's consider briefly now Moses' part in all of this. Well, there are various reasons that Moses is seen by God's people as a key figure. Prior to Moses, of course, Abraham and Sarah were considered the first Jews, or the first of God's chosen people. They had a son, Isaac, who continued a faithful relationship with God and his people. But their relationship with God wasn't really much more beyond a belief in one God and loyalty to him. This people emigrated to Egypt over time. They were enslaved there. According to God's will, and without going into too much detail here, it was Moses who found himself in a position of influence. He talked to the Pharaoh into letting them go, and he led them back to the land of Canaan, crossing through the Red Sea as it separated. He led them, even though he was fated to die en route in the Sinai Desert. Moses was the one who ascended Mount Sinai and received directly the words of God and wrote them or transcribed the words of God into the first five books of the Bible, which many of us know as the Pentateuch and which Jews call the Torah, and it's considered the most sacred texts in Judaism. These writings made up and were stored in the Ark of the Covenant that were carried with God's people as they wandered in the desert, and they were eventually housed in the temple in Jerusalem. To emphasize the importance of these writings that were given to Moses and were written down, one could say that he was the one who first codified the laws, although they were told to him by God. The laws that governed those who were known as God's people, Israel, at that time, and that continue to govern the life of the Jews ever since. And furthermore, these are the words and the laws that have set the ethics of most of the Western world. And some would go further and say Moses is the foundation of Judaism, and had it not been for him, Judaism would not exist as it does today. Moses is considered by Jews to be the greatest of all prophets and the only prophet to speak directly to God, and is responsible for forming a slave people into the nation of Israel. This is how one follower of Judaism describes Moses, and he describes him like this. He is the most important prophet and the only one to talk to God face to face. At the same time, so important, must be qualified by the fact that Judaism does not venerate him in the same way that Christianity venerates Jesus. Moses' importance is limited by the fact that he was human and therefore mortal and imperfect, and his importance derives from his role as messenger and prophet of God, with God, not Moses, credited for the Exodus and associated acts and miracles. Indeed, this statement is entirely consistent with the way that Paul regards Moses as faithful servant in God's house. And here we see the division amongst the Jews of that time. Does Moses continue to be considered the most influential human to ever have lived? Or is Jesus to be allowed to take that place now? Is the house to be completed? Or do you continue to believe that the house is a bungalow? And this was the dilemma for the Jew at that time. And this is the challenge that every Jew is faced with today. The same question that all people are faced with, but from their unique standpoint as God's chosen people. We are all asked the question, Jew or Gentile, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? This is the decision that many Hebrews were faced when this epistle was written. And Paul asserts that Moses is the faithful servant who has served well in God's house. But Jesus is the architect of all that has and will happen in and to God's house. To put it another way, if we view the word house as people, which is the done thing when reading this text, we can see that Moses scribed the law for the people, but Jesus, as God now in flesh, was the one who created it out of his loveliness and holiness, and has now fulfilled it by living a sinless life. And Paul is saying that in the same way the architect of a splendid house should be the one to receive the praise, so Jesus should receive and be afforded a higher importance than Moses. This means also, because of Jesus, that we are no longer bound by the penalty of disobedience to the law, which is, of course, death and permanent separation from God. But here lies another dilemma. This time, not for the Jew, who holds the role of Moses and the law in high esteem, but for the follower of Christ in the present day. The question, how should we regard Moses and the law that was communicated to him by God? There have been those who simply say that the incarnation, the taking upon flesh by God in Jesus, means now that the law has been fulfilled and ceases to be the foundation of faith. In some cases, this has led to a much more liberal approach to the way right and wrong is viewed. This line of thought has no doubt contributed to an attempt to move away from the influence that the law established through Moses has had on society, most prevalent perhaps regarding areas around marriage and sex, where what was regarded as acceptable according to the law is now seen as being up for grabs and open to redefinition. There are, of course, areas where the law needs to be redefined, where the modern world asks questions of it. And this can happen in the present age and is helpful and complementary to a belief in the law only when the law is the foundation. But often it can seem like the law no longer rests as the foundations by which we live in society today. You see, the law as established through Moses, although out of reach in terms of attaining it, guides us in our pursuit of holiness. It descends from the one who is completely holy, our Lord in heaven, and is given out of love by the one whose love is perfect. The law needs to be seen as a gift that draws us ever closer, and we should thank God for it, and thank God for ministering it to us through his servant Moses. Jesus himself said, "For I truly tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. When will heaven and earth disappear? Never, at least not until it's replaced by a new heaven and earth. When will everything be accomplished? Well, when God's creation is entirely reconciled to God, and when there is a new heaven and earth. In other words, the law will remain until it is the way things are, the natural state of things in the new heaven and the new earth. So what can we take from all this? Well, pray that Jesus takes his rightful place in your life as being most important. Pray for the Jews of today, for the people of Israel of today, that they may recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of the law passed down by Moses to God's people, and pray that you may encounter God's love for his people through the law, and that you may grow closer in understanding with the Lord your God through it. Amen.